Welcome to Kenny's G League, the only podcast in the universe all about the Rip City Remix. Welcome to the last episode of the season. We will, of course, perhaps come back in the summer around the time of Summer League, but this is the last episode of the regular season. And in this episode, we are joined by George Galanopoulos, the associate head coach of the Rip City Remix. He was gracious enough to give us some time and talk about the season, talk about his experience working with other leagues across the world. And I think this is a great conversation where we really get a feeling for what the inaugural season with the Rip City Remix was like. I hope you enjoy this conversation. Before we get into it, don't forget our sponsor, Basket Ghoul. Basket Ghoul is where you can get t-shirts, stickers, apparel, all kinds of good stuff, keychains that are kind of niche items for the Portland Trailblazers and the Rip City Remix. Go grab something from Basket Ghoul. And without further ado, let's get into our conversation with George Galanopoulos. Today, we're joined by associate head coach of the Remix, George Galanopoulos. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. I really appreciate you spending some time with us today. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Really appreciate you having me on, and shout out to Handfruit Nation.
There it is. There it is. I think just today, there's a little article on Blazers Edge about Handfruit Nation. I read it this morning. It's really fun. So let's see here. You've coached all over the world, really. And this season, you obviously spent the year with the Remix. What's been a favorite thing about Portland for you, whether that's food or culture or anything going on in town?
Yeah, so big move coming from Dallas, Texas, the last 8 years. So it's definitely different here. Love the scenery. Definitely a lot of places I'd like to see now that the season's over. You know, you're close to the beach, you're close to the mountains. It's beautiful. You know, a 10-minute drive to work, even at the very least, is something I really appreciate. Diverse food scene. But, you know, most importantly, the move for us, you know, my girlfriend and myself from Dallas has been, you know, all about the Portland organization, just being in the Blazers facility every day. From day one, we were welcomed with open arms by the organization, all their employees. And that's been a bright spot for sure. And I think set the stage and the foundation for a successful season for us.
Awesome. Yeah, there's so many beautiful places you can get to around town in like an hour. It's pretty unique. That's definitely, I think, what has been my favorite thing about living here in my life. Just you can go to the beach, you can go to the mountain, you can do almost anything you want to do.
Yeah, and now after last, you know, six months of rain, we're starting to see a little bit of sunshine too. So definitely looking forward to that for the next few months.
Yeah, I've always said that if basketball season was a summer sport, I think Portland would have such a different reputation, just because it gets so beautiful from like, you know, April through October or whatever.
Right.
I wish the players sometimes got to see a little bit more of that instead of like the January, it's been raining for 2 weeks straight.
Right. That's why that last road trip for us, even though it ended with a couple losses, it was nice to get out there on the West Coast. And
yeah, I got to imagine
80 and sunny every single day.
Yeah. So
at least that was nice to get our players some sun.
Definitely. And it's like a surprisingly to me long G League season. You know, you see the difference in games from the G League to the NBA. And personally at the beginning of the season, I was thinking, oh, this is going to feel like the blink of an eye, but it's still pretty tough to condense all that down into like 4 or 5 months. So there's a lot of travel in there.
Yeah. I think the beginning of the season with the Showcase Cup being only, you know, 14 games at first, then you had a couple for the Showcase. So it ends up being about 16 games. There's a lot more time in between games. It almost feels more like a college schedule. You know, you've got the whole week to prepare for a couple games, and they've got you in your separate pods and your regions where you're playing specific teams. And then out of nowhere, it just picks up. The travel picks up. Regular season is, you know, over somewhat of 32, 34 games, whatever the case is. And then that's when, in the blink of an eye, your season's over. You know, it happens the same way every single year, where you think you got a lot of time, you got all the practice time, you know, there's not that many games, yada, yada, and you've got 4 or 5 months. And then out of nowhere, it ends. So it always flies by for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Well, like you said, you've been involved in the G League in Texas and in the G League in general for a number of years now. I'm curious, how have you seen the G League change just in that amount of time since you've been involved?
Yeah, it's changed a lot. I think first and foremost, you look at the players. There's the talent bed of players, specifically with the two-way contracts. They added a two-way contract this year, so now you've got three two-way contracts. You know, playing for the G League team, you've got multiple assignment players. You know, the roster still stands at 10 players. They paid the players more in salary, so I think you get more guys that are coming that maybe would play overseas. So there's definitely more talent in the league than there's ever been, which has made it competitive. It's made it a lot of fun. I think you see the 1-to-1 ratio now between NBA teams and their own G League affiliate. You know, back when I started, I was in Bakersfield, California, with the Bakersfield Jam at the time in 2011, and there were only 17 teams, and we were affiliated with five NBA teams. Wow. As an G League team. So that's probably the biggest difference. And even though we had a lot of assignment players here with the Blazers this year, specifically from the Blazers, you know, in Bakersfield, we had 6-7 players throughout the year from five different teams. So I think the biggest difference there is that now there's a lot more synergy and continuity between the team that you're affiliated with and the transfer of players back and forth. So you just see a lot more consistency in the seamless transfer between organizations for those players. And, you know, for the staff, it's great because I think there's a lot more resources being poured into it because teams individually, you know, own their own G League team now, especially with the Phoenix Suns announcing that they'll have a team next year. So you see the resources there. There's continuity between the coaching staff of both teams and both organizations. And then you see that applied on a day-to-day, game-to-game basis at the G League level. So it's getting better in all facets, and it's been amazing to see the development of the league specifically from that standpoint.
Yeah, I can only imagine how much of a difference that's made over the years to have that affiliation to one team. You know, I remember, actually, it wasn't that long ago when the Blazers were sending players like Greg Brown to, I think he went to the Clippers, I want to say, at one point, and there might have been a couple thrown in there. And that has to be really challenging for both sides, you know, for the Blazers to go, okay, we don't really have any eyes over there right now. And then for the Clippers, they're probably saying, I would imagine you could maybe inform us. They're probably saying, well, this guy comes from a totally different system. How do we integrate him in this, I don't know, week we might have him or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah. Ironically enough, when I was with Texas as the head coach of the Legends, my first season in 2019, we had two players from the Blazers that were assigned to us. One of them was current Blazer Moses Brown.
Right.
Was brought in as a two-way for them. It was Moses Brown and Jalen Horde, and they didn't have a G League team at the time. So there was a previous relationship with the Legends before I was the head coach there, where they had sent a few players over there to develop. And that was my first experience, not only as a head coach, but, you know, working with another organization to try to help develop their players. So, again, ironically enough, the assistant coach at the time that I would speak to about the back and forth of those players was Jim Moran. He was an assistant coach. Yeah. So our relationship dates back years. You know, so when we first got in touch about this potential job with the Remix, I had seen the last time we texted each other was about Moses Brown in 2019 when he had come to us. So it's just kind of funny how things come full circle, obviously. But I think the biggest challenge with that was simply players coming from another organization where the system simply is different. The talk and the terminology and some of the concepts are just simply different. You know, so you got guys that they have to learn a system before they come to us, then they're learning another one. And I think for me, more than anything in our staff, it was just making sure that we simplified as much as humanly possible, you know, for those guys, especially young players. Moses Brown was 19 at the time. So you really just want to focus on him having fun, being very clear about a game plan and what his responsibilities are. And that comes directly from, you know, the Blazers, obviously, what they want him to work at. But very fulfilling nonetheless, obviously, just to have young players come into your program that are good kids wanting to learn. And you just do your best to supplement their development, supplement what all teams want from their players.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that must be one of the advantages of practicing in the same facility too. I know a number of teams, even if they are affiliated, they might be located miles away versus sharing the practice facility. So I got to imagine that plays a role. What has that been like, sharing a facility?
Yeah, that's been incredible. And it just makes things so much easier and so much more seamless for the transfer of players back and forth, you know, especially when both teams are in town. You know, they'll practice in the morning, and then once everybody's gone, we'll practice in the afternoon. It's very easy for them just simply, you know, to watch practice. And when I say them, the Blazers, the front office can watch practice if they're in town. The coaching staff can stay after and watch practice. And it's especially fulfilling for them, obviously, if they have some of their players that are assigned for practice that day. And it's very easy just simply to assign them when we're both in the same building. And then after that, you just have to come up with a clear plan as far as, you know, what the, you know, trajectory is and the development plan is for those specific players. And then we just figure out in our practice how to supplement that development and do the best that we can to make sure that they're getting the reps that they need, you know, to prepare for playing for the Blazers. So it's been great. And just the fact that you can walk right downstairs from our office to the coaching office there and just talk to them if you need to. About anything at all. So it's nice. It really built for, I think, a good thing here. And the continuity, I think, is better than I've ever seen between two teams.
Yeah. And I would imagine that that'll continue to kind of snowball through seasons too, if you can kind of have that sense of camaraderie, you know, between the teams and the coaching staff. That's pretty unique.
Yeah.
And I know your coaching career has taken you to a lot of different places, and you've worked with the Uganda national team, which actually, speaking of kind of running into other staff members in different places, I know Mike Schmitz has spent some time on the Uganda national team as well, if I understand correctly. What has that been like to develop that team, and how do you have to approach teams in different parts of the world differently, if you do?
Yeah, well, that, again, an incredible experience coaching the Uganda national team. I was, I think I was 28 years old when I was appointed the head coach. And, it, you know, I was coming from the Dallas Mavericks as a video coordinator. You think you know a lot. You think that you got everything figured out as far as what you want to implement with the team and how they're going to play. And you're going to be able to, you know, to win games almost immediately. And it's just not the case. You learn very quickly that you don't know anything, or that you've got a lot to learn. But it became very rewarding, you know, for me personally, and I think the team in general. We started to see a lot more success when I started to immerse myself in the culture and started to learn a lot more about these players, their upbringing, their lives in general, independent from the basketball. And I think that's very important whenever you go to a different team, especially when you go to a completely different culture in a different country. You simply need to first and foremost learn about the league, learn about the players, learn about the culture, whatever that may be. It might be their individual culture as a country. It might be the basketball culture specifically of playing in qualifying games. You know, you're playing three games in a row, back to back to back, you know, at a very high level.
Wow.
Obviously, every single game has incredible implications for your world ranking and your ranking in Africa and all these different things. So I think it's important that even if you're going to go coach college from the G League, like maybe some of the basketball concepts are similar, but there's a whole different culture that you have to learn about recruiting and NIL and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So I think when you go anywhere, it's important that you take your blinders off and you just simply try to learn as much as possible about where you're going and the people that you're working with. And then you just figure out where you can use your experiences that you've had throughout the years and apply it to help create an environment that's conducive to development and winning. And, you know, you see where you could take it from there. But it's been extremely rewarding. And I think sometimes I need to take a step back and realize that there's, especially when we're playing games, we're trying to qualify for, you know, the African Basketball Championships or the World Cup. There's, you know, close to 40 million people out there that are rooting for us. You know, it's not love hand fruit nation, but you know, that's an actual nation that's rooting for your team. And when we started to win games, I think we placed sixth, got to the quarterfinals in AfroBasket 2021. The outreach that we felt from the people of Uganda, the direct messages that we got, whether it be on Facebook or Instagram, just people reaching out to our players, to our staff, me directly, explaining how grateful and appreciative they were to see our team, especially when we beat Nigeria. We had never beat Nigeria before. So that was a pretty monumental moment for not just our players and the team, but the people in general. It just makes you realize that you're preparing not just to win games, but you're preparing with a purpose that's so much deeper than just basketball. There are people there who have hope, and some of their only hope is in the sport. And that's, I think, what we've realized over the years as people that love sports is it connects us. As much as there's so much out there that divides us, you know? So yeah, that's been something that's been very fulfilling. And I've loved every minute that I've had the opportunity to experience that with them, the country and the people.
Amazing. Yeah. That has to, be such a, impactful experience to kind of, you know, go in somewhere and feel like, you know, what's going to happen. And then kind of your, sounds like, you had to relearn maybe your approach a little bit, but then it kind of developed into this literal nation backing this team. That's really unique. It reminds me of what Alex Sarama was talking about the other day too, with kind of his approach to coaching, especially younger athletes. You know, is he was talking about making an effort to get to know the person, essentially, you know, and thinking about basketball more in terms of the individuals rather than just basketball, if that makes sense. And that's got to be a really difficult thing to continually do, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And that was my biggest learning curve in the first tournament that I coached with Uganda. And the first couple actually was, again, you go in there as a young coach with, you know, MBA experience at the time, and you're thinking of all these things that you want to implement basketball wise. And little did I know, just because they spoke English didn't mean that they understood my accent. I guess to them, I have a very you know, American, specifically like a Chicago accent where I was born and raised originally. And there was so much that they didn't know that I was saying, like they just simply understand certain terminology and couldn't understand when I spoke, because as a coach, you kind of get going, you start talking, and you know, whether it was too fast or they didn't understand a specific word, there was a lot they didn't understand. And from a cultural standpoint, they're all about respect, and they are so respectful to the point where even if I would ask if anybody had questions, they felt disrespectful if they would raise their hand and ask a question and not just be obedient and listen to everything I said. Well, we had to have that open conversation after we lost a few games in preparation for the next games and the next you know, qualifying tournament that I was with them, that they needed to meet me halfway, and I needed to know if they didn't understand something and I needed to do a better job of understanding them and learning how they learned.
Right.
So it really, two completely different you know, levels of basketball and different cultures, going from FIBA specifically in Uganda to the G League. But it made me specifically a much better coach, because I learned how to slow down. I learned how to speak more clearly, make sure that players understood exactly what I was saying. Like, it just simply made me a better coach overall, on top of, you know, having to learn more about players and understanding the importance of learning about the people that you're working with. So Sarama brings up a great point. It's so important to learn about people, about where they're from, and trying to understand why they think the way they think, why they speak the way they speak, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, that makes coaching, I think, the most rewarding thing when you learn about the person, just as much as you learn about the player.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of the things that, in my experience, I feel like fans like myself, you know, don't get a lot of insight to, oftentimes, whether it's like talking to friends about sports or watching TV or whatever, you know, it's really difficult to have an appreciation for how much coaching is relational, I guess, but it's such a huge aspect of any type of interpersonal work dynamic, you know, to think about the individual. And then we as fans get online and argue about coaches. And there's this whole side to it that we cannot evaluate. You know, I think of the Remix this season, since they're brand new. What was that like going into the beginning of the season, kind of figuring out what sort of things you're going to implement to the team and how that translates to the Blazers as well, I suppose? You know, what kind of things are you implementing with the Remix that might be similar to the Blazers or different to the Blazers?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think first and foremost, especially with the new team and how quickly this thing got started, I think you just try and get it off the ground as running as best you possibly can. And I think the number one priority is, like you said, how do we supplement the Blazers? How do we supplement the Blazers organization? How do we follow their lead? And how do we supplement the development of their players specifically? And I think when you come up with that clear plan and that clear directive from the big club, at the end of the day, you just need to use everyone's experience on your staff, because we've been pulled from different, you know, walks of life and different positions and different teams and whatnot. We've all got different experiences, and it's important to just figure out how we want to do everything. How do you want to run a training camp practice? How do you want to do film sessions? How do we want to do scouts? Who does what scouts? What are our staff roles and responsibilities? There's just a number of things that you need to get going. It's important to use everybody's experience to do that. So, you know, me being a former head coach in this league, I just tried to use my experiences as a head coach that I went through in order to help as best I could, whether it's our staff specifically or Jim specifically, you know, in his first role as a head coach, or anybody else for that matter. And as far as things that, you know, we tried to implement, I know you talked to, you know, Sarama recently. Sarama's got some very, you know, forward-thinking ideas in regards to player development. So I know, like with our pregame warmups, as well as some of our pre-practice individual work, we implemented just some different things, you know, from a player development standpoint that supplements skill acquisition, you know, that Sarama brought to the table. And, you know, Gilbert Abraham from the Blazers, who's the director of player development, also has some similar ideas. So that's something where we tried to bridge the gap and try to bring something new from a player development standpoint. He was great to learn from. Alex was, and Jim did a great job of leading all of it, you know, and allowing us to the freedom to work and kind of figure some things out in regards to that. So that's one thing that's great about the G League is, you know, you got to follow somewhat of a plan, obviously, in order to best keep using the word supplement, but it's the truth. You try to supplement, support the NBA team, as well as the development of players, but it really is a laboratory to a degree, as long as you don't go off the beaten path, you know, to make sure that you're developing these players and doing what you can to not necessarily come up with the next best thing, but figure out ways to help these players get better. And it was a great experiment this year, just working through it, me in a new role that I haven't been in a long time, Jim in his new role, and everybody as a first time organization. It was incredible. And obviously you hope that you can make the playoffs and do all these things. But I think at the end of the day, you look at what the goals are. You know, I think Jim spelled it out very clearly. Like, he wanted to, sure, we wanted to make the playoffs, but I think the playoffs are more of a byproduct of the work that you put in every day and the culture that you create and the environment that you foster every single day. And Jim did an incredible job of setting the tone from the beginning of the season that he wanted an environment and a culture of hard work and family. And that's what it felt like. I can honestly sit here and say that was some of the most fun that I've ever had coaching basketball. And I think it started with the people that were in the building and then the culture that Jim set forth for all of us.
Glad to hear that, it was such a tight knit group. That's really neat. I know for myself, as a fan, watching especially the players sent down from the Blazers was one of my favorite parts of the season. I felt like a player like Ryan Rupaire was making leaps and bounds throughout the season, and now to see him spend the last month and probably the rest of the season playing pretty considerable minutes for the Blazers was really cool. I guess just out of curiosity for myself, do you have any highlights from Rupaire? I'm a big Rupaire believer.
When I think of Ryan, like the first thing that comes to mind is he's a really good kid. He's very enjoyable to be around. He's very quiet at first. He's got a really good, fun personality to be around. And he works really hard. He's one of the hardest workers that I've ever seen. He's always in the gym. He's coming in early. He's last one to leave. He's coming back at night to shoot. So the work ethic is some of the best that I've ever seen. I'm trying to think of a specific moment. I think one thing I remember specifically on the court, it was a game in Salt Lake. It was early in January. I think the regular season had just started. And we ended up winning that game. We had a good fourth quarter, I think. And Ryan specifically, he hadn't come and played for us, I think, in a few weeks or so. Or maybe played the game before. I couldn't remember specifically. I might have my timeline messed up, but I do remember the game in Salt Lake where I think throughout the season we were trying to get more aggression out of him, specifically on the defensive end, right? Shots are going to go in and out. It's all good. Shoot when you're open, take good shots, whatever the case may be. We'll live with the results because you work really hard. But defensively, rebounding, like, how can we tap more into your aggression on that end? And I think there was one place specifically he got a steal or somebody else got a steal and they threw it ahead to him and he took two dribbles and there's somebody in front of him and he took two steps and he rose up and just threw it down on this guy. And I think he kind of yelled a little bit, flexed a little bit, you know, so it was one of those moments where everybody on the bench was juiced because of it. You know, we had made a comeback and we ended up winning that game and he had an incredible game. I don't think he shot it that well, but he was picking up full court defensively. He was super aggressive, guarding the other team's best player. And then the cherry on top was this, you know, aggressive rise up, throw it down, dunk in transition that we hadn't seen from him. And I think in order to see that from a player, there needs to be a confidence in your ability to do that and then execute that, something as simple as a dunk in transition. So it was very fulfilling to see throughout the year, you know, the film sessions that we had with him both as a team and individually in the conversations that we had to try to get him to that point where he was comfortable enough in his own skin and confident enough to just simply apply that aggression on both ends. So that was a really cool moment, I thought. And then after that, we never saw him again.
Yeah, so, pretty much.
Which I think is the other memorable part of the season and some of the most memorable moments is seeing those guys 24 hours later that played for us playing for the Blazers and doing well. You know, it's just it was very cool. That was something that I hadn't experienced much in my time in the G League was the amount of like instant success these guys were seeing going from our team to the Blazers, you know, 24 to 48 hours later playing on ESPN or, you know, TNT or something like that around the local channel, and contributing to winning at times. It was very cool to see.
Yeah, that is pretty unique. And we saw that quite a bit this year. I think even those last couple games, I showed up to the game and went, I thought Ashton Higgins was on the road. They flew him back, you know, in the last 12 hours or whatever.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's something that everybody, I think, dreams of the big contract. They dream of the two-way deal, you know, especially if they're just under G League contract. There's a big responsibility and an adjustment that comes with being a two-way. You really can't get into much of a routine because right when you get into your routine of playing three straight games with the G League team and being with them for a whole week, you got to fly on a dime to Atlanta and you got to play that game against Atlanta, and you're getting in maybe 3 hours before the Blazers play, and you're getting thrown into the fire. So it's a huge adjustment that I think some guys struggle with at first, and then you just kind of get used to it. But yeah, it's tough. There's a responsibility and a huge challenge that comes with being a two-way that makes me respect those guys even more to see how much success they have at both levels. And it's a seamless transfer for them, which is great.
Yeah, it is. It really gave me an appreciation this season for how much of a grind it can be for a lot of players. You know, it's really rough, and to see guys succeeding in whatever roles that they have is pretty cool. I think about earlier this season in that little window when the Blazers and the Remix had Jamari Bouye. I can't remember what team he came from, but then he signed that two-way. And then the Blazers had a lot of injuries at the time, I think. And he was immediately thrown into point guard for the Blazers, you know? And that is an incredibly tough position to get put in, to go from another team entirely to just, okay, now you're playing point guard at a home game for the Blazers. And that's such a battle, I have to think, to make that transition. And a lot of players do that. And you know, he's still in the G League. He's back with another team now, but a really challenging just grind to get through. I will say one of the cool things about him being on the team in that one or two home games that Jamari Bouye played with the Blazers, I was randomly sitting next to three of his high school friends that flew into town to watch his NBA might have been debut. I can't remember if he'd played with a couple games with another team before. But just was randomly sitting next to them, and they had all gotten Jamari Bouye Blazers jerseys. They were really excited about it. That was yeah. It's one of those things you can see the payoff right away for the individual, at least. You know, oh, this grind that you're going through is, if nothing else, being appreciated by your family and friends, and obviously by the NBA teams that are signing you.
Yeah, it's, again, they're. We talked about how much goes into, you know, the preparation for a game that people don't see. It's the same thing with players individually and what they're going through. You know, you might just turn on the TV and see that Jamari Bouye is starting for the Trailblazers or coming off the bench playing significant minutes. And you might have no idea about his backstory or the fact that, like, this is literally his dream come true. And that's our message to the players, is that you just never know when your opportunity is going to come. You never know. As long as you think about it, you dream about it, you continue to pursue it every single day, sooner or later, you will get your opportunity, or something happens that might be disguised as something else, but it is your opportunity. And that's why our job as coaches and organizationally is just to make sure that we're putting these players in a position to succeed on a day-to-day basis. And we're simply guiding them through the process of, you hear it a lot, stay ready. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready. That's why it's so important that even when you don't think that your time is coming and it seems like a grind just to go to the gym that day, like, nope, that's another opportunity to just simply get better at your craft and continue to chip away and work at the things you need to get better at, because sooner or later you will get your opportunity. I mean, you think of like Jeremy Lin. I don't know what he was like as a worker or whatnot, but like, this guy just gets thrown into a game. And all of a sudden he's like his own brand after three games, because he did well, you know. And it's not easy to do that, but you just never know when your opportunity is going to be there. And that should be enough every single day to just work with the purpose of, how can I get a little bit better today? How can I do this? How can I do that? And that's why we're here as coaches and as an organization, is just simply put that plan together to guide those guys and help them out as best as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. There's always that opportunity for players, and you just don't know when it's going to come.
Let me ask you this question. What is your, you said some of your favorite moments were watching the Blazers players at the, you know, at the G League level. Do you have a favorite game?
Ooh.
Favorite moment from a game?
Ooh. You know, probably most of my favorite moments were when Tajay Moore would like jump 12 feet out of the gym.
Yep.
Who doesn't like a dunk? You know, the Blazers don't dunk a lot either, so I gotta appreciate the dunks. Those were always, always obviously highlights. Favorite game. Oh man. There was a game where I was watching it at home and Ashton Hagens hit a bucket. It was either in the late fourth or overtime. I can't remember. And he like turned to the one camera in the gym and screamed, "I'm him" in this camera. And I mean,
it was a home game, right?
It must have been. I can't remember.
Yeah. It's like he fell perfectly in front of the camera and
Yeah. Just a really fun moment. And then on top of that, to see him, you know, that was before I think he got the two-way. So it was continue to see him follow that success this season was really exciting for me, just to see a guy that I literally knew nothing about versus some of the Blazers two-way guys or whatever. And just see that, these players that I know nothing about, to follow that progress throughout the season and see success was really cool, just for my perspective to appreciate more these guys that come from all sorts of different playing backgrounds.
Yeah. No, it was very rewarding and fulfilling to see, Ashton's trajectory throughout the season. He had come to us after having played for multiple G League teams, So I think to be a G League journeyman, significantly different than being an NBA journeyman, obviously, like you're really trying to figure out, your purpose and where you're trying to go and just try to find where you fit in. So for Ashton, it was the perfect storm. He played great for us. He was a great leader for us. And to see him be rewarded with the Blazers with that two way, and continue to have a positive attitude when he came back and forth between the teams at times, was really cool to see. And that's what it's about. If you end up losing a few games, because you lost your best player to a two way deal, like, so be it, it's the next man up. You just try to figure it out as a coach, but that's what it's about. It's about these players being put in a position where they can improve and get better and develop. And you want them to be in a better situation either next year or next week or next month than they are right now. That's really what it comes down to. And every player is different. Their trajectory is different. Their development path is different. A guy might make a two-way in a week. A guy might not be a two-way for, a whole year. Every player is very unique and different, but that's what it's about. It's about those guys being put in a better position when they leave our organization, to where they go next.
Absolutely. And I'm going to be excited to see where some of these guys, now that the season is over, land next year. I'll kind of be on the lookout for that.
Yeah. I think the cool thing, in the short term is once Summer League comes around, seeing the guys that either are, with the Blazers Summer League team or they're elsewhere, like you root for them. If they go elsewhere, that's great. That means they maybe individually found a better opportunity for more playing time or, an organization that wants to incorporate them more, whatever the case may be. I think it'll be interesting to see a lot of guys at Summer League. And then for us, it's very cool to see those guys and reunite at Summer League, both staff, players, everybody. So that I think is the next thing to throw on your radar.
Yeah, definitely. I will keep that on the calendar. Well, thanks so much for joining. We'll wrap up there. I really appreciate you spending your time this morning with the podcast. That's been really fun.
Yeah, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate it.
Once again, thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. If you can, I would really appreciate a little review over on Apple Music or Spotify or whatever you're listening on now. It would do a lot to help the show. Thank you so much for listening during the season. I really appreciate any attention you are able to give to this podcast. It means a ton to me that you spend any time at all with this little show during the G League season. I hope you have a fantastic off season, and we will see you next time.